The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Owen Sheehan of Off the Ball. We were going to spend ages talking about the European Super League, and then Spurs went and blew the bloody doors off. What's after happening with Mourinho?
God, I thought you were going to lead with Cork avoiding Kerry in the Munster Football Championship and the draws that were made this morning.
We'll get to that. Don't be silly.
To Jose we go. Jose Mourinho's been sacked. And this will surprise nobody that he has been sacked. People will have thought that it was going to happen eventually. It's the timing of the sacking that will have surprised a lot of people this morning. They play the Carabao Cup final against Manchester City this weekend, and he has been sacked, 6 days before the final. So it is brutal timing from the standpoint of Tottenham Hotspur. You can only assume that A, they have a successor lined up, and they're pretty excited about the successor, or B, that something has happened behind the scenes, whether it's with Harry Kane or another player who is saying that he will leave unless they get a new manager in. That is the only two reasons that I could see why they've gone with this timing-wise. But the actual fact of the matter is he's been sacked, and I think the results this season probably were going to result in him leaving the club anyway this summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a particularly poor run of form. The most recent game, of course, was the 2-2 draw with Everton on Friday. But that said, Mourinho is Mourinho. Surely at the end of the day, you have a quality manager there. They're seventh in the league. Okay, it's not where they need to be, but it's been a basket case here. Would you not just kind of stick with them?
And the thing is, it doesn't really matter where you finish in the league if the Super League is actually going to go ahead, and Tottenham being included in that. Doesn't matter if they finish 7th or 17th, as long as they are included in this new league, and they would have been fine with their European place for that. But I think the thing, Jonathan, is Tottenham expected to be challenging for the title. It's probably a little bit above their head at the moment, given the talent that they have, but that was probably what they expected after Mauricio Pochettino backed up losing a Champions League final with a terrible season where they weren't anywhere near the upper echelons of the league. So maybe there was this sense after reaching the Champions League final that they needed to get back that very top tier of European football. And Jose, he started the season very well this year, but it's completely fallen away. His tactics have seemed to be holding the team back, a team with brilliant attacking stars. And of course, the conversations around Harry Kane are only going to intensify over the next few weeks. If he leaves the club, then, I mean, they're going to go backwards again next season.
But if you were to look, form is very important. Solskjaer would have been gone in January and February, and they're now second in the league. You know, you have to let managers bed in. You have to let them do what they do. OK, you mightn't get the results you want this year. If you're constantly churning over talent, the quality of Mourinho, and whether you like him or not, the guy, well, he used to be good at the job, and one would argue he still is, just not with this particular team at this particular moment. You're never going to succeed. You're just going to be on a roller coaster that's going to make you throw up every second week.
And appointing Jose Mourinho is almost like buying a ticket for the roller coaster. You know exactly what you're going to get. This was always going to happen with Jose. If you enjoy the brilliant moments that Tottenham fans would have had at the start of the season, the hope, the idea that they might have been able to challenge for the Premier League title, then you also have to expect that there will be a downturn eventually, because he's an extremely explosive man, an extremely intense man. Things always go south for him eventually at the clubs. It just depends. What can you get? What bang for your buck can you get before that collapse happens? It turned out Spurs got nothing before the collapse happened. And it does seem that Jose, whenever these things happen to him at a club, he always struggles to turn it back around.
Yeah, I doubt he'll be out of pocket somehow. I'm presuming there'll be a very attractive clause in there if they were to terminate early, that he'd get a fine few bob and he can go off and look for a new job. But certainly won't be the last we'll hear from him.
No, I think when it comes to the contract, I know that it was reported a few weeks ago that there was a break clause in his contract at the end of this season. I presume that doesn't pertain to right now, to April, and that they'll actually have to pay a serious amount of compensation, which leads me to believe that they just must have a successor lined up. They must know exactly who the man is that's coming in. For Jose, maybe international football beckons. Who knows? Like, the football landscape is changing as we speak this morning.
Hold on. I'm not rushing Stephen Kenny out the door, but is there a chance here?
Jose Mourinho won't become Ireland manager. I think I'm safe in saying that, unless we go back towards appointing celebrity managers at some point down the line.
He's too young. He needs to be at least in his 70s before we could afford him. Yeah. Anyway, look, let's talk about the reason we were due to talk to you, which is this absolutely bonkers European Super League that became public knowledge yesterday. And as much as it is a story in its own right, this is what Gary Neville had to say yesterday on Sky Sports.
Well, the reaction to it is that it's been damned, and rightly so. I mean, I'm a Manchester United fan and have been for 40 years of my life, but I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted. I'm disgusted with Manchester United and Liverpool most. I mean, Liverpool, they pretend, you know, you'll never walk alone, the people's club, the fans' club. Manchester United, 100 years, born out of workers around here, and they're breaking away into a league without competition that they can't be relegated from. It's an absolute disgrace. And honestly, we have to wrestle back the power in this country from the clubs at the top of this league, and that includes my club. And I've been calling for 12 months as part of another group for an independent regulator to bring checks and balances in place to stop this happening. It's pure greed. They're imposters. They're imposters. They're nothing to do. The owners of this club, the owners of Liverpool, the owners of Chelsea, the owners of Manchester City, they're nothing to do with football in this country. There are 100-odd years of history in this country from fans that have lived and loved these clubs. And they need protecting. The fans need protecting. I've benefited from football hugely. I've made money out of football. I invest money into a football club. Now, I'm not against money in football, but the principles and ethos of fair competition and the rights to play the game so that Leicester win the league, they go into the Champions League. Manchester United aren't even in the Champions League. Arsenal aren't even in the Champions League. You watched them earlier on today. They're absolute shambles of a football club at the moment. Tottenham aren't in the Champions League. And they want a God-given right to be in there. They're an absolute joke. And honestly, the time has come now. Independent regulator, stop these clubs having the power base. Enough is enough.
There does seem to be the suggestion that they would need permission from the Premier League to take part. And without it, it would have to be a breakaway, not just from UEFA competition, but from our domestic competition as well, Gary. So with that in mind, let's be clear about this. What is the motivation?
Well, you know what the motivation is, it's greed. Dave, my reaction earlier on wasn't an emotional reaction. Deduct them all points tomorrow, put them at the bottom of the league and take the money off them. Seriously, you have got to stamp on this. This is it's criminal. It's a criminal act against football fans in this country. Make no mistake about it. This is the biggest sport in the world. This is the biggest sport in this country. And it's a criminal act against the fans. Simple as that. Deduct points, deduct their money and punish them.
Do you think these clubs would have the courage, knowing how much widespread condemnation there is, to go through with it, Gary?
Dave, the bottle merchants. You never hear from the owners of these clubs. Absolute bottle merchants. They've got no voice. And then they'll probably hide in a few weeks and say it was nothing to do with them. Oh, they were only talking about it. Seriously, in the midst of a pandemic, an economic crisis, football clubs at National League level going bust nearly, furloughing players, clubs on the edge in League One and Two. And these lot are having Zoom calls about breaking away and basically creating more greed. Joke.
Tell us what you really think, Gary. That's what I want to hear from Gary Neville of Sky Sports yesterday. Owen, a very interesting point on this. Just for those who are or maybe haven't heard the full detail, this is a competition that is set up to rival the Champions League, but it is effectively a members-only club, isn't it?
Yes. So there are 12 founding members that are involved in this. So you've got the traditional Big Six in England, which is the two Manchester teams, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Tottenham Hotspur and Chelsea. Then you've got the Big Three in Spain and the Big Three in Italy coming together. They're the 12 founding members. It's going to be a 20-team league, Jonathan, so they need to fill the other eight spots, basically. Now, whether or not there are going to be eight spots for eight other teams who are going to be in there every single season remains to be seen. There is a thought out there that actually what they'll do is bring it to 15 founding members that will be there every single year, and then a further five, and those five will be subject to relegation.
Relegation to where? Relegation to their back kitchens? I mean, you can't be relegated from a league if there is nothing below it, and therefore, what does it mean to be relegated? How do you qualify if you're not invited?
Well, you see, that's the thing. It might be invitation only. The thing is, it won't be the be-all and end-all of the football season. It will run concurrently to the domestic leagues. And they have said that.
It can't. Because if the FA, for example, if the FA allow United, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and Spurs to take part in this thing that isn't sanctioned, they are now the tail wagging the dog. The FA would have no choice but to expel them from the Premier League, painful and all as it would be, they would have no choice but to do that. Because if the Champions League or whatever, Europa Cup or whatever else is in there, you cannot allow clubs to set up their own private version of what you were doing commercially.
I'm just saying that the intention is to run this on midweeks only. So this will not take place on the weekends. This is midweeks only. So this, in reality, will be a direct challenger to the Champions League rather than a direct challenger to the Premier League.
Do you accept the point that the FA Cup would have to kick them out? Or the FA would have to kick them out?
I totally accept that point. Now, the question will be, how does that actually play out when you get into the legal intricacies of it? And the people running the Super League have already said, and it has been reported this morning, that they are willing to take on the legality of any removal from the Premier League, for example, any attempt from UEFA to try and stop this from happening, from the domestic leagues to try and stop this from happening, they are willing to take them on legally on that basis.
OK, well, Dan Rowan is the BBC sports editor and he's tweeting about this morning. He's quoting a well-placed source, which we know now must be solid enough. He says Man United and Real Madrid are the ringleaders. Three US-owned Premier League clubs really mean this. They're sold on the NFL model of closed league with star players and clubs driving value. Others see it as leverage over UEFA. They're unhappy with the new Champions League format because it means less bobs for the clubs. Big clubs are from struggling leagues. Spain and Italy are obviously unimpressed. And according to the source, some of those involved in the European Super League call traditional supporters of the club legacy fans. And they want to focus instead on fans of the future who want superstar names, which could be interpreted, one might say, as the spotty teenager sitting at home playing FIFA. And they want to be able to watch this and ignore what it is. But if they are referring to the traditional fans of those clubs as legacy fans, they are in for a hiding, because the people are going to really revolt against this.
But will it matter at the end of the day, Jonathan, to the people who are running this? I would contend that
It'll matter if nobody watches the bloody thing. That's when it won't matter.
But where is the evidence that people won't watch this? Of course people will watch this. Millions and millions of people all around the world will watch this. You won't have your season ticket holder from Liverpool, who lives down the road from Anfield, showing up to games and feeling pride in his or her jersey. They will lose that traditional fan base. But that traditional fan base is a drop in the ocean compared to the new markets that football has invaded successfully over the past two decades. Since the inception of the Premier League, the Premier League became this incredibly global thing. People fly from all corners of the earth to go to the Emirates Stadium, for example, even though the football team there is crap. People are coming from all over the world to watch Arsenal play football at the Emirates Stadium. That is all that matters. People are paying good money to show up. People will pay good money on a subscription fee to watch this. They will lose their traditional fans. But that is it, Jonathan. Unfortunately, it's as blunt as that. When it comes down to money, this will be profitable.
But, and I have to say, it comes down to how the FA and I suppose the Spanish and the Italian authorities, how they all deal with this. They have to be strong on this. I mean, the FA statement yesterday was fairly emphatic. You want to do your own thing? You do it without us. If Man United and Liverpool and Chelsea and all these clubs are not playing regular football on a Saturday, being televised, and they're waiting for this kind of Machia League, as we refer it in Cork, that's not going to be financially viable for them. Even if you pursue it, you're in court. The beautiful game, as it would be referred to, the idea of watching a game for the purity of the football, like, it's obviously going to be diluted. And I don't care about the young lad coming up. They want to see good football. It's going to be hard to get good football when it's being driven by one thing and one thing only, which is money, not winning trophies.
I agree, Jonathan, but I would also just like to say one other thing on this, that there seems to be a newfound outrage with something that has existed for a long time in football, which is the grotesquely rich owners who have been calling the shots in football for a long time. If you're only getting outraged about this now, then you've missed who owns Manchester City. If you're only getting outraged about this now, you have missed who has been running the show at Old Trafford for the last 15 years. This has been going on a hell of a long time, Jonathan, and this is the final product of football taking all the money you can get. And I'm sorry, I hate to be so matter of fact about it. Football has long since lost its soul. This is not the day football has lost its soul. football is at the very top level a soulless sport.
Yes, but unfortunately, they have accidentally showed us the soulless nature of it by even talking about doing this. Anyway, let's park the soulless and go to the soulful. The draw this morning for the Munster Football Championship and the Hurling Championship as well. You know, I got a bit of a kick listening to it this morning because I was like, oh, look, we might be able to watch matches. I watched Reeling in the Years last night thinking, wouldn't it be great to be able to watch a match like that in real life again? Like, there's a little bit more hope there, isn't there? And Cork and Kerry, whew, well, at least we'll avoid each other the first bit.
Yeah, that's it. So, Tipperary, of course, Munster football champions last year, as you'll well know, Jonathan, they're up against Kerry or Clare in their semi-final in the Munster Senior Football Championship. And then on the other side of the draw is Waterford, Limerick and Cork. So you rightly say there could be a Kerry-Cork final. John Fogarty of the Irish Examiner mentioning this morning that you could have a bizarre situation where Killarney is thronged in the middle of June, but Fitzgerald Stadium itself will actually be empty. Everybody will be down on their staycations, but nobody will be allowed into the pitch itself, which could be a bizarre situation. When it comes to the hurling draw, which was also carried out this morning, the quarter final, it's Clare against Waterford. The winner of that will play Tip. And then on the other side of the draw, you have Limerick against Cork. So that's how the Munster Hurling Championship looks.
I mean, look, fingers crossed that those teams will get back training, and this will definitely happen. But we don't know about fans getting back in, how many might be allowed in, what the rules are. I mean, they're not going to rush towards that, I'm presuming, Owen, at any level in this country. We heard about the restaurants and the hairdressers. If you can't sit in a pub, you're not going to be able to sit in a stadium.
Absolutely. And I think that obviously they will prioritise trying to get the hospitality industry up. They'll try and get private businesses, small businesses, I should say, up and running. Getting people into grounds may not be a priority this summer, and they want to avoid any outbreaks at all costs. At this point, it would be ambitious to think that especially the provincial championships will see fans there. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. Maybe if vaccine rollout actually increases and that has a significant impact on figures, they might be able to do something, but I would say it'll be for the later stages of the championship rather than the provincials.
Okay, Owen Sheehan of OTB Sports, pleasure as always. Thanks very much for